you're going to need to turn there to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we've been looking at a series in Luke chapter 11 and 12, looking at what the Lord Jesus is teaching us in those chapters. And I'm going to read from verse 35 of Luke chapter 12. I do encourage you to bring your Bible. If not, the words will be above my head on the screen, but it's great if you can read along in your Bible, or maybe you've got a device, tablet, whatever it is, however you do that these days. Big crowd has come to listen to Jesus, and he's speaking to his disciples, and the disciples in the crowd hear this. The Lord Jesus say, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for the master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? Truly I tell you, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." This is God's word to us this morning. Please keep your Bibles open. Let's pray briefly. Our Father in heaven, you promise to meet our needs according to the riches of your glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Meet our need to be fed by your word. Help us to listen so that we would love and follow Jesus more. In his name we pray. Amen. It's been a big couple of weeks for waiting in our house. The younger members of our team have both had birthdays in the last week. And this week, one of them has watched as a present has sat on a high shelf, tantalizingly just out of reach. And every day, you can guess the kind of things that's been said. "Is it my birthday yet? Is it time yet? Daddy, how long, how many more days till my birthday? Daddy, can I open the present yet?" Waiting is not one of his strong points. In fact, I'm not sure waiting is a strong point of anyone who lives in our house. Many of our young people, in fact, all of them I think are going back to school this week. I'm not sure how many are looking forward to that. But tonight, that kind of day that's coming, whether it's tomorrow or the day after, there's going to be a change in some of their behavior. And I don't mean they're going to behave badly or anything like that, but they're going to have to dig out school uniforms and dust them down. They're going to have to see what still fits And that rogue shoe that's been missing since December will have to be found because school starts this week. I wonder how you felt when you heard that lockdown is due to end on the 21st of June. In the paper this week, I read about how some people are starting to prepare the parties they're going to have, the clothes that they're going to buy, what they're going to eat and drink, and who they're going to hug first, and even who they're not going to invite. We get the idea of a big day in the future that we've got to be prepared for and start making plans for now. Christmases, birthdays, lockdown parties. We get that idea. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, again and again, says to us that there is a day coming in the future that we have to make plans for now. The day of his return. Jesus is coming back. Now, I suspect that's not news to many of us, you know, fresh news anyway, but it's important. The history of our world is on a timeline, and the terminus, the end point, is when the Lord Jesus returns. Thinking about that day, making plans for that day, is really important because it's going to affect every single one of us. Everyone who's ever lived, everyone who's alive, everyone who's going to live is going to be there on that day. Look at what the Lord Jesus says in verse 40. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We've got to be ready. Now, if you're new to church, new to Christianity this morning, let me give you something of a timeline. The Lord Jesus died on a cross on the first Good Friday. On the first Easter Sunday, he rose from the dead. He was really dead, and now he is really alive, okay? And that's not symbolism, it's not imagery, it's not a metaphor, it's not, he's just alive in the hearts of his followers. The Lord Jesus was really dead and is now alive. About 40 days after that event, the disciples saw him return. He went up into the sky, returned to heaven. He's been there for the past 2,000 years, ruling and reigning, and he promises he's coming back. When he returns, he will summon everyone, alive and dead, to give an account of how they have lived their lives. On that day, Jesus says, most people will be surprised. We do not know when that day exactly is going to be. Lots of people down the years have said, I know when Jesus is going to come back. They've been liars and charlatans. No one knows. One of two things will happen to us on that day. Either we will spend eternity as part of a perfect heaven with the Lord Jesus, or we will face eternal punishment in hell. So we better be ready for it. And in our passage this morning that I read in Luke 12, Jesus says, here's some good ways to be ready. And so we're just going to look at those good ways, Jesus says, that we can be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus. Okay? Here's the first one. Jesus is coming. Get ready by watching. Okay? Get ready by watching. My grandmother, lots of you know, recently passed away. When we were younger and she knew we were coming to visit, there would be a change in how she behaved that day. She would start to bake lots of things, okay? She would cook bake pancakes and scones and cakes of many kinds and flavors and colors. It was brilliant. But as the time grew closer for us to arrive, she'd be there at the window, okay? Curtain twitching. That's what, are they here? Have they arrived yet? The Lord Jesus tells some parables about his return. Verse 35, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. To be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus is to be and think of ourselves like servants waiting for a master to return. In those days, when you went off to a wedding, it was not, well, this venue is going to knock us out about 11 o'clock, so I'll be home by 11:30. Weddings could go on for days, sometimes a week. And if you were a master and you said, okay, I'll tell the servants, I'm going to go off to this wedding, no one knows when the master's going to come back. If you're a servant waiting for the boss to come home, you want to keep alert. If it's raining on the way back, you want to make sure that there's a fire going so that he can warm himself. You know, maybe he wants some toasted cheese, so we better be up, we better be awake. It could be late, it could be well into the night. You know, keep looking out the window to see if the master's coming down the road, so that when he comes, fancies a bit of toasted cheese late in the night, we're ready for his arrival. That's the picture that Jesus is making for us. It's our attitude about us being ready and kind of looking out for the Lord Jesus to come back. Look at what he says, verse 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. It will be good for those followers of Jesus who are still watching and waiting for his appearing even after 2,000 years. What does it mean to watch? Because we want to be those who it's going to be good for on that day. I think first and foremost, we get ready for that day. We are watching and waiting by being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've asked the Lord Jesus to forgive our sins. We are trusting that when he died on the cross, he did that for us. You see, Christians know that day when Jesus returns, it's not going to be a terrifying day for us. It's actually a day to look forward to. Because the punishment that should be mine on that day was put on the Lord Jesus. He drank the punishment down to the dregs. He took every ounce of what I deserve for disobeying God, so that on that day, he will wipe every tear from my eyes. We don't need to be afraid of that day for Christians. We're to live in light of that day. His return is going to be a day when sickness and suffering and coronavirus are going to confine to the bin forever. No more death. To be ready, watching and waiting, we've got to be followers of Jesus. We've got to have asked him to forgive our sins. If you're here this morning, you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus. You've drifted off already. Look at verse 39. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. If you're here this morning and you don't believe in the Lord Jesus and you've never asked him to forgive your sins, he says, be careful. Because he could come back at any moment. Or indeed, your life could be over this very day. We do not know. But if we want to be guests at the feast, if we want to be with the master and have him wipe every tear from our eyes, we've got to ask him to forgive us. Are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you watching? What if you are a Christian? Well, I wonder if you've got a sense of anticipation for that day. I wonder if you ever think about that day. I have to confess that over the past year, the words, "Come, Lord Jesus," I think I've either uttered them out loud or to myself more than at any other point in my life. I wonder if you've ever thought about the day when your faith will be sight. Here's something amazing that Jesus says to those of us who have something of a sense of anticipation for his return. Look at verse 37. "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them." Okay, this is remarkable. Picture this scene, okay? One of those big fancy super yachts in the south of France. And the owner of that super yacht says to his staff, his chef and servants, "You know what? I'm going to take the helicopter and I'm going to go and watch the opera in Milan tonight, okay? I might be bringing back some pals with me, so stay up. I might need you." They're like, "Phew. You know, opera, that drags on a bit, you know? And he's going to be late. It might be in the middle of the night before he returns. It's late, and the staff are kind of on the edge of the yacht listening out for a chopper, a helicopter to come back, and the helicopter flies in and lands on this massive yacht. And the owner steps onto the deck and says, "Guys, you've all waited for me. Come with me." And they go into his dining room and he says, "Servants and the chef, you guys sit down." And he goes to his wine cellar and brings out his best, most expensive champagne and starts to serve the servants. And he goes to the kitchen and brings out all the best food, cooks it up, and serves the servants. And we're being told that when the Lord Jesus returns, it's going to be a bit like that for those who have been watching and waiting for him. A banquet where the Lord Jesus will serve those of us who have been waiting. And every moment of eternity will be filled with joy, knowing that I'm here at this banquet, and it's all because of the Lord Jesus. You're watching and waiting. I think we watch and wait as well by trusting him. You know, as I've looked over the past few months when we've been looking at these chapters, what does it mean to follow Jesus and watch and wait? Well, it means we're not playing at being a Christian. It means we're asking him, "Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, I don't want my life to just be about an abundance of possessions. Lord, I want to fear you more than I fear other people. I want to wait and watch in a way that the Master will be pleased." For some of you here this morning, waiting has become wearying. I know that. Waiting has become wearying. You may be tempted spiritually to drift off, to think, maybe the Master's not coming. He is. Jesus says, be dressed and ready for service. Keep watching and waiting because the Master promises it's going to be worth it. Now, you might think that watching and waiting is a bit like waiting for a bus in our time. It's not, okay? It's not that. Because we get ready by working. Part of our watching and waiting is that we're working for him. Now, I'm sure we all have stories we can remember from school when a teacher said, "I just need to leave the classroom for a moment. I will leave you to go on with this work." Okay, now, in Glasgow, let me show you, demonstrate what happened the moment the teacher left the room. Try and get a better one. Try and hit someone. Okay? And that was just the start. Because it then descended into even more chaos. And people were getting smacked with rulers that had been used for sword fights. And I'm sure even once or twice fire extinguishers might have been set off. And of course the teacher comes back and it goes mental. This is a poor comparison. But the Lord Jesus is a bit like the teacher who's left the room. Work has been left for us to do and get on with. Those tasks don't earn us a place in heaven. The Lord Jesus has already given us that by his death and resurrection for all who trust in him. They don't earn us a place, but these are the tasks that we do because we've got a place in heaven. Now the question is, what will the Lord Jesus find us doing when he returns? Pinging elastic bands or doing the work that he's left us to do? Peter pipes up with a question in verse 41. Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And Jesus doesn't directly answer Peter's question. He tells him another story. He says, Peter, go back to the master with the servants. The boss goes away for a bit, so he leaves one of the servants in charge. The good servant obeys the master's instructions. And verse 44, truly I tell you, when the master returns, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Now, in terms of following Jesus, when the master returns and puts me in charge, I don't know what that means in terms of heaven. But this I know, it will be good, whatever it means, because it's from Jesus. The bad servant decides he's going to do his own thing. And he treats the other servants badly and does his own thing and mucks around. He's doing the equivalent of pinging elastic bands at people. When the master returns, we're told. Verse 46, the master of that wicked servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbeliever. What will the Lord Jesus find us doing on his return? Serving as good servants or pinging elastic bands? Now the Lord Jesus has left us all with tasks to do. Some are specific and some are general. Not everyone is going to have the task of being an elder at this church or being a pastor at this church. That is a pretty specific task that some of us have been entrusted to do. Not everyone's going to be an explorer's leader or whatever it is, specific tasks. Some tasks are general to followers of Jesus. Each of us have been told that we're to speak about Jesus and make more disciples in his name. Other generous tasks? Well, am I generously and sacrificially caring for other believers, both here at this local church and around the world? That is, we've all to be part of that. In my home, do I care more about what the Lord Jesus thinks or what my family thinks? That is a general task that we've all to accomplish. When Jesus returns, will we be faithfully doing those tasks? Pinging bands. Young people, as you go back to school this week, those of you who consider yourself followers of the Lord Jesus, be a good servant in that place, because we don't know when he's coming back. Don't think, when I leave school or I go off to university or I start work, that's where I'll take a stand. No. The Lord Jesus might return. What will he find? Good servants? Parents, I know that bringing young ones to church at the moment is difficult. And I know telling them about Jesus, reading them Bible stories, especially when they're young, can be incredibly hard, and it descends into chaos and breakfast cereals getting lobbed across the room. But we don't know when the Lord Jesus will return. At work, it can be such a struggle to live as a Christian in a difficult environment, but the Lord Jesus has put you there to serve him. Some of you older folks, There's nothing about retiring from Jesus' service in these parables. When the master returns, what will he find? We have to finish. I remember previous generations of Christians. They wouldn't go to the cinema or the dancing or to a pub. You know, often they would say things like, well, what if the Lord Jesus came back and found me in a picture house? I suspect it was because, for various reasons, those places were seen as sinful, and it would be an embarrassment if they were found there. I'm not saying that today. But think about this. When the Son of Man returns, what will he find us doing? What will he say? Will he say, faithful servants, guys, come into the banquet and let me serve you. You've been waiting for ages. Take a seat. Take the weight off. Come on. It's great that you're here. Or will he find lazy servants half asleep, doing their own thing? We must be ready. Because if we're not being faithful servants, the warning of these verses is that we can have no confidence that Jesus will be pleased to see us on the day of his return. We must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when we do not expect him. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, so often I've been one of those servants who's not expected your return, who spiritually has been pinging elastic bands. I ask for your forgiveness today. I suspect many of us have been in that position. Forgive us. Help us to be dressed and ready for service. Help us to be watching and waiting and working as we wait, knowing that you could return at any moment. We want to be good servants. We want to be those welcome to the banquet. Help us by the Spirit's power and in Jesus' name. Amen.